Life.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Justice.
Just this.
Just this.
Just this.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
Succession.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Privacy.
Right.
Work.
Peace.
Losers.
Men.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
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 Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Culture.
Culture.
Human rights.
Cartagena.
Solidarity.
Responsibility.
You fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good day to our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a global collection of musicians. I'm Jim Hutchings, joined by Brian Boqueza with Gord Barnes. So welcome, everyone.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back on Human Rights Radio.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah, I don't know what we just had some slight issues here, but we're underway. That's the main thing.
Yeah, it seems just a little bit of a snafu,
hey.
But we're good. We're good.
Maybe it's a reflection of, you know, that it's kind of cold outside, so we're sort of dealing with a brain freeze.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. I would go with that. Today's program, we decided that we're going to look back over the past year and see some significant events and some ongoing issues, and there are also things that have happened that have been very, very positive. Just a look through the year, month by month, and checking out issues that some of them we've talked about in the past, and some of them we haven't, and you'll be familiar with some, and we're going to take turns.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, although before we do that, Jim, okay. I just want to thank the students from the University of Regina, particularly in the journalism studies, and I'm talking about Jasmine Hintz here and Derek Cornett, who was organized by Patricia Elliott, and they did a fantastic job along with the Campus Regina Public High School student, who was organized by Karen McGiver and Ryan Wood. I thought they did a phenomenal job hosting some topics ranging from addiction, homelessness, residential schools, journalists for human human rights, and it was just a phenomenal job. I was just awestruck by the level of professionalism these students were able to bring to the show. And actually, we're back here. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why we had a bit of a snafu, because we haven't been on air for a while.
that could be it. We're just kind of waking up here a little bit.
I agree with you, Brian, that I was fortunate to be able to listen to most of the programs live and a few on the podcast, which people can tune into. It's worth mentioning if you miss a program, you're always able to pick it up later on a podcast. But all those programs that were done by the university students and also the high school students were excellent and a really good contribution to Human Rights Radio. And it's a good reflection of what we'd like to do with this this program itself in terms of partnering with people who have an interest in working with Amnesty International as volunteers. So we're really appreciated of the contribution the students have made.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have some of them back or even newer students
in
the upcoming year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to do it again. There's no question about that.
So I think one of the things that we talked about doing at the very beginning of this program when we're reflecting back over the last year in terms of 2012 was actually begin by reflecting on some very current events. And that is something that's been in the news. People will have probably, in one form or another, heard of the recent developments with the Idle No More movement, the First Nations movement all across Canada, and reflect on that. And we hope to have guests on the program in the future who will represent Idle No More and be able to speak to their work to raise awareness of the rights of Indigenous people across Canada, First Nations people. There's been a number of protests and rallies, round dances in malls that some of us have participated in and supported. But I just wanted to, in raising that at this point in the program, say that over the last full year and even prior to then, Amnesty International Canada has been campaigning quite actively around the range of issues that are being raised now by the people involved with the Idle No More movement. And that would include things like our petitions that we've been collecting signatures on for calling for clean drinking water on First Nations reserves, the work we've done over the years in partnership with NWAC, the Native Women's Association of Canada, to raise the awareness of the concern about the disappearance of First Nations women, the murder of First Nations women across Canada, calling for a national strategy to end the violence against First Nations women. Also, we have been, within Amnesty International, for the last several years, trying to raise awareness of the significance of the what we call the UN DRIP, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. It was a document that initially Canada did not sign on to, but has eventually supported. But really, there's many concerns that Canada has not, in signing on to that document, has not really lived up to the true spirit of it. And one of the key pieces there that Amnesty is concerned about, and certainly this is reflected by the Idle No More movement, is that there's a duty to consult First Nations people when changes are made with respect to our relationship with First Nations people. And that's something that is so fundamental in the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. And we're hopeful that within Amnesty International, we'll be able to continue to work with First Nations communities across Canada to support their call for full respect of treaty rights and also the range of other concerns that are being brought to bear. One of the things that we'll be doing in February 2013 will be to raise awareness of the terrible situation where there's a significant underfunding for child welfare services by the federal government right across Canada and First Nations communities. If you look at the level of funding for child welfare services the federal government provides for on reserve, it's actually 22% less per child
than what provincial governments would provide for child welfare services in other communities. So in February this year, we'll be partnering with the First Nations Child and Family Caring Society for a Have a Heart campaign, which will call for appropriate levels of funding for people who are on reserve in First Nations communities. What it means right now, and this is quite, you know, people will, I think, many cases be very surprised about this, is that to know this, but there's actually a greater percentage of First Nations children being taken away from their families right now than at the height of the residential school era. Here we have a situation where, during that time of the residential schools, there was a terrible record in terms of our, in saying that, Canada's record in terms of First Nations, treatment of First Nations people. And yet, now, after having made that apology that was done a few years ago, the residential schools apology, we are still in a situation where large numbers of children are being removed from their families. And it's really a reflection of this underfunding of child welfare services in terms of services for First Nations communities. So as I say, I wanted to just, at the beginning of this show, in terms of reflecting on the most recent things that have been in the news, particularly that are being raised by the people involved with the Idle No More movement, refer to that part of Amnesty's work, the work around human rights issues to support the concerns of First Nations communities across Canada. So maybe we can conclude with that. Brian, I think you were going to reflect back on some of the things that we've been involved with locally here in Regina. Do you want to?
Oh, yes. Thanks for that, Gord. I was actually surprised with some of the things that you just said, especially with regards to kids still being taken out of residential schools.
That is amazing. I mean, yeah. That is amazing, actually. I hadn't heard that statistic before, Gord, and that's really quite worrying. Mm-hmm. You know, is this in terms of percentage or actual numbers?
The actual percentage is of, in what we're talking about is the number of children who are First Nations children being taken away from their families currently is a higher percentage than was during the residential school era. And we really need to reflect on what that means and for children, for families across this country, and say, you know, the level of service for child and welfare services in First Nations communities got to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, I'm going to talk about a little bit of what we've done as a group, as Amnesty International here in Regina and Saskatchewan as well. Particularly in June of this year, we started with the annual general meeting, and I think a couple of us was involved, Gord in particular. Maybe you can speak a little bit more about that.
Right. We had the annual meeting for the Canadian section. It was held in Vancouver. A number of us were able to be delegates. I was fortunate to be able to participate in that meeting. It was a highlight of the year for me personally. The Canadian section has this forum. This year we had a number of excellent speakers, and it actually relates very directly because the guest speaker to what I was just talking about, the guest speaker was Cindy Blackstock, who's the executive director for the First Nations Child and Family Caring Society. But there were a number of highlights that I'll treasure forever. Mm-hmm. It's an important time for the Canadian section for Amnesty International to get together to plan for the upcoming year, and also think about the priorities for our activism. So,
could I digress there for just a moment, Gord? I just wanted to talk about Cindy Blackstock.
Yeah,
hasn't she experienced almost harassment from the federal government with regard to her activities, where she's highlighting
what you're talking about, the underfunding of child welfare services for Indigenous children.
And that's right. One of the things that we heard her talk about, and it is, you know, publicly available now, if you were to go in and look at what's going on, is that unfortunately, instead of responding to the concerns that Cindy Blackstock has been raising on behalf of young people in First Nations communities all across Canada, the federal government hasn't responded to her in a positive way. Instead, they have really initiated a campaign of harassment. And what that has done is involved looking back at her history and trying to find things that she might have done that were inappropriate. And the fact of the matter is they just haven't been able to find anything. But they have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and first of all, fighting her initiative and also, you know, trying to hurt her own reputation. And they haven't been successful in that regard. She's a very credible leader and spokesperson for the organization she's involved with. But it's unfortunate that that's the approach that the federal government has taken.
Mm-hmm. Well, personally, I think it's a sad commentary on the direction that the department seems to be taking there.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
Yeah. And
anyway, carry on. I'm sorry, I wanted to talk about Cindy there.
And I find it interesting, of course, we're really blessed here in Canada to have a lot of our rights granted to us and everything, but there will always be issues out there. So it's always amongst all of us to be a little bit more diligent as well,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit more mindful. I mean,
pay attention.
That statistic that Gorda just mentioned, well, that's absolutely surprising. The fact that, you know, didn't know about it is a bit of a shame, I should say. Thank you, Gorda. Well, we did other things as well throughout the year. Particularly in August, we had a small display during the folk festival, not in the folk festival, but during, right outside the Notmex church. And again, I think Gord and Jim, you were both there, right? Could you talk a little bit about
that? I spent a little bit of time there. I was away for part of it, but I did manage to help a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a good turnout of people. How was our setup?
We got a great response.
Yeah.
We were set up, as you mentioned, Brian, outside Notmet. People were coming by on their way to the folk festival and signing petitions, chatting, getting involved. And by virtue of that event, we were able to connect with a lot of people in the community that we hadn't connected with previously and get support for our campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. And then, after that month in September, we all participated in the annual Dragon Boat Race as a team. Amnesty had its own team called Amnesty Rocks the Boat, and I thought we did. We had some memorable moments, that's for sure. Really good turnout as well.
Yeah, the weather was not ideal, and in fact, one of the Dragon Boats swamped. And it wasn't us.
All in all, though, it was a whole lot of fun, I'd say. I'd definitely do that again next year. In October, we had our conference and our film festival, Navette, our annual regional conference. Now, that was a big event.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps one of you could talk about the conference and the other could talk about the film fest in particular.
Yeah, I didn't get to see as many of the films as I would have liked, but I never fail to be impressed by the quality of the films that we do get, and it's well worthwhile. They're eye-opening, and you know, it's sort of testament to what we watch as normal fare on our TV listings and that sort of thing. Ordinarily, we don't get very much stuff. We get reality TV and that kind of thing. We start watching things from serious documentary makers like we are privileged to see during our Human Rights Film Festival series. It's very, very touching, and you know, you get some significant insight into situations in other countries and sometimes in our own. And I thought that we had a good selection this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there are still issues that have stuck with me all throughout the time. I mean, one of them was about the Niger Delta issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that really has stuck with me until now. And I feel that's a major concern that's been ongoing and going on for years. And
that's the thing. It's not old news. It's ongoing.
Yeah.
And
we had a lot of good, like you mentioned, a lot of great movies, both produced locally and even internationally, mm-hmm. which was, I thought, fantastic.
Brian, that's worth noting, too, is that one of the first films we showed during the film festival was actually a documentary done about Bhopal and what happened there years ago now. That was actually done by a Regina filmmaker. You know, here we are in Regina, far away and removed from Bhopal, and yet this Regina filmmaker was committed in terms of his interest in this issue, in terms of how the events at Bhopal years ago now, and really there's still a continuing issue in terms of the lack of support for the people in that area who are affected by what happened there. So that for me was a highlight in terms of that particular film. You mentioned the provincial conference, and mm-hmm. it was exciting as well.
That mm-hmm. was a lot of fun. We had Sarah Beamish, president of Canada chapter. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I thought she gave a really stirring speech at the end of the conference, particularly focusing on some of the occurrences in Philippines
in
regards to industrial mining, where a lot of indigenous folks have been displaced and local people who have not been receiving any funding or anything, even though a lot of the mining has affected their livelihoods, their environment. And I think it goes back a little bit to what had happened in Niger Delta, where a big corporation hasn't been owning to some of the responsibilities. And I think it's not just these areas, it's an ongoing thing throughout the world, yeah. And although, all in all, though, the conference, I thought, was a hit. There was a great amount of topics we covered, everything from social networking with regards to activism, mm-hmm. and even how to, even a little bit about Amnesty 101. So there was a lot of topics that was covered during the conference, and I thought it was a really, really fantastic event. We should have it again next year. Maybe here again in Regina. That would be fantastic. Well, we had it at Luther College, and they were phenomenal help during the whole conference. They really helped us out getting all our things together. So I thought that was really great of them.
Yeah. It took quite a bit of work to organize it, but there was a really good group in terms of the planning committee. One of the things I think we need to consider is, you know, do we continue to have the conference itself in Regina all the time, or should mm-hmm. we move it around? I've had a bit of a discussion already with some of the people in Moose Jaw, you know, because it'd be fun to have it there. People came to the conference this year from Moose Jaw and Saskatoon, and it's probably a good idea to look at moving it around in the future.
Mm, that would be whole lot of fun if we could also go outside too. You're right. And end of the year, just a few weeks ago, we had in December the Right for Rights campaign here in Regina. That was an event that's held by Amnesty International across the world. Here in Regina, we had it at the Artful Dodger, a great place to have events, and mm-hmm. we had a really good turnout with fantastic speakers. All talking about different specialized issues with regards to human rights. And we also had some great bands as well performing, and musical performers, I should say. And I thought that was a great event, too. Mm-hmm. So we've been really active this whole last year.
And, of course, that was on the 9th. The actual celebration is on the 10th. That's the anniversary. Yeah. Of the proclaiming, I guess, of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 62 years ago, Gord? I'm not sure. Something like that. But we had another event the following day, and it was a letter writing What was the term?
Poetry slam.
But poetry slam. It was a letter writing slam.
We also had a poetry slam.
But there was poetry involved, and it was well worthwhile attending, and kind of, I think it whetted our appetites, or some of us anyway, for that kind of thing. And we had a good time, those of us who managed to get there.
What really surprised me on the Poetry Slam Day mm-hmm. for Human Rights is our very own Gord was able to perform.
Oh, yes.
Yep. I thought that was a phenomenal performance.
Too generous.
But it really goes to show, it goes to human rights, there are numerous avenues, numerous ways to get involved in raising awareness and talking about these issues, mm-hmm. Particularly for folks who don't know. Let me just talk a little bit about Right for Rights. It's an annual event that, as I mentioned, Amnesty holds, mm-hmm. and where it's a whole marathon all throughout the world, normally held in December 10, where people all across the world write about different instances and different cases of human rights abuses to people in concern. And I think it's a phenomenal event. It's normally coined as the largest human rights event in the world. Normally, because as I mentioned,
it's happening
consecutively all around the world. And I think it's we normally have it here every year here in Regina, and we're going to definitely have it again next year because mm-hmm. of a great turnout that we had this year. So, yeah, that's in brief all the things that we've been doing this
year. I think
year.
We had, how many letters did we have written on that day?
We had over 100 mm-hmm. letters written by our Amnesty members and, of course, some of our guests as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a phenomenal turnout.
And I think we introduced some people to the process of writing those letters. And I would invite, seeing as we're on that topic, I would invite people to come out on Tuesday nights for letter writing at
7 o'clock on Tuesdays. Normally we have it at the Atlantis.
Atlantis, yes.
We're going to resume again early next year. We just took a short holiday break. Just
yep. yep. Yeah. And it's not tough, and we can show you how it's done.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I guess the first one for the new year will be Tuesday, January 8th, and we'll get underway again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to play a little music after the break. I picked some, sometimes I have some really jazzy stuff, but this is just going to be pleasant holiday music, and I'll tell you all about it after the break. And we'll do the break, and then we'll play the music, and then I'll just give you a little brief rundown on it. So we'll go to break right now. Thank you.
say Merry Christmas. May your New Year dreams come true.
That was the Cafe Accordion Orchestra, and I just happened to get that as a Christmas gift from one of our Amnesty members, actually, and it's her favorite Christmas CD, and she gives copies of it to family and friends all over the place, and I happened to be privileged to get a copy last year, but it stayed in my music case for a year, and that's probably the first time I've played it. To tell you the truth, I've heard it before, but
that's a good tune though. For Christmas.
Yeah, just a nice, nice, relaxed thing. Holidays, a little retrospective here. We're sitting back, relaxing for the holidays, and having a look back at the year in human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And
what a year it's been. Mm-hmm. I think what we're going to be doing now is that we're going to talk about some different instances of human rights cases all across the world. Throughout the year, and we'll do it month by month. Let's start off, Gord, start us off.
Okay, so in January, one of the significant concerns that Amnesty had in the month of January were on January 3rd in Cambodia, and then actually on January 22nd in Brazil, where the large-scale forced evictions of people that left large numbers of people homeless. So in Cambodia on January 3rd, over 300 families were left homeless due to the forced eviction of those people from their neighborhood. And in Brazil, over 6,000 people were evicted in a forcible way from where they lived in Brazil. There's a lot of detail in the Amnesty International report in both instances, but we just wanted to refer to that in terms of the month of January.
Yep, definitely. Most of our cases that we're talking about, or we'll be talking about, will have more information on our Amnesty website. For the month of February, particularly on February 7th, in Maldives, President Mohamed Nasheed stepped down under controversial circumstances, particularly in that he claimed that to have been a victim of a coup and forced to resign at gunpoint. People will remember President Mohamed Nasheed as being an Amnesty International prisoner of conscience in 1991, where he was imprisoned because of printing material that was particularly critical of the government. And he was actually tortured and claims to be tortured. And in particular, he was chained for 12 days and was even forced to eat food with glass in it, shark glass. So this is one of the things that he went through. Also, with regards to President Mohamed Nasheed, he has an interesting documentary of his plight as president of Maldives, where he was fighting for climate change. And the documentary is called Island President. I think it's a really fantastic documentary,
mm-hmm.
Documenting that particular struggle.
Yeah, well, they're in a particularly precarious position there, because the whole... the islands there are none of it is very high above sea level. Well,
actually,
so
it's the lowest point.
So if you know the sea level doesn't have to come up very much, and they're done.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely been an ongoing issue in the Maldives, and something that President Xi has been fighting against. Let's move into March. Jim, would you help us out?
Well, one of the events, of course, is Vladimir Putin is voted president, and that's his second term, I believe. I think the way the Constitution operates, he was unable to do a consecutive term. So just the way things happen in Soviet, in the... I guess they call it Russia now. I get confused. The former Soviet Union, I suppose. It's democratic, but rules can be manipulated, and so he managed to find his way back into the presidency. And of course, he is the most powerful person in Russia. But he's feeling the heat from human rights activists, I think. And one of those things, of course, was. Pussy Riot, and they're still dealing with that very what should I say? They're trying to have a measured response to a group of young women who are protesting, and they're not being very successful at it. But anyway, more about that later. Did you have a comment, Gordon?
No, it's.
Let's see here now. Well, one thing that I find significant is also in March was Japan carried out first executions in nearly 2 years. I think there's two people executed there, and it's still something that Amnesty is very much against and campaigns very hard against is the death penalty. And you would think that the death penalty would be something that you're only going to find in the most repressive regimes that are not democratic, but not so. You know, south of the border here in the United States, they're still executing people, and there are many other countries that still have the death penalty for various reasons. And Amnesty International is against the death penalty under any circumstances as being inhumane. What else do we have in March? I think fairly significant, the International Criminal Court issued its first ever conviction against Thomas Lubanga Diallo, leader of a Congolese armed group for recruiting and using child soldiers in conflict. And the child soldier issue is ongoing. It's been an issue for a very long time and continues to be. This is part of the issue with Omar Khadr, the young man who's been in detention in Guantanamo Bay for over 10 years. And he was captured as a child soldier, and as he was, I think, 15 years old. And that fact was never recognized by American authorities. So there's still a lot of progress to be made on that front. We have, there are so many things. Just looking at Azerbaijan, where musicians were violently beaten, arbitrarily arrested, and tortured in detention. And this is for allegedly insulting the president, Ilham Aliyev's late mother, during a performance in the capital of Baku. Well, that would seem to me to be a matter of maybe somebody's taste or judgment or whatever, but not something that, you know, and these are allegations. These aren't something that has even been taken to court and proven, and these men are violently beaten, arrested, tortured. There's certainly some work to be done in Azerbaijan. Gordon, you want to carry on for April?
Well, I think it's worth noting with respect to April, there was a significant initiative that the senior staff person for the Canadian section for Amnesty International was involved with. Alex Neve was involved as part of our research work in terms of traveling to South Sudan and talking to the people who are really the at the forefront of a terrible human rights crisis there. He was part of a larger group of Amnesty International researchers. And, you know, the country itself, South Sudan, is not an old country. It's born in July 2011 as a result of the fragile peace agreement that happened with Sudan. But there are still large, large numbers of people who are refugees and having to flee their homes as a result of continuing bombing from the north. And there's large concerns with respect to the numbers of people who do not have adequate shelter there and are really in a very serious situation. Alex has reported about that. It's made international news in terms of his work. But I think just on terms of our reflecting on that, highlighting it, it is worth doing that because that's part of our ongoing mandate within Amnesty International is to undertake that critical human rights research. So I think, Jim, you were, or Brian, you were going to talk about some news out of Mexico in terms of March.
Well, yes, in March we actually have the news about Inés Fernández Ortega and Valentina Rosendo Cantu are two Maypas indigenous women who were raped by soldiers in separate attacks in Guerrero State of Mexico in 2002. The women have courageously fought for justice for 10 years despite threats to them and their families. In the recent months came the good news that the Mexican government has taken responsibilities for the rape and abuse of Inés and Valentina. So that's actually really good news. At least,
it is. And typically it took a long time and points out you have to stay on it. I was talking recently about Omar Khadr, and he was finally released from Guantanamo Bay and sent to a Canadian prison, but that took over 10 years of constant pressure from organizations like Amnesty International and other organizations. And it makes you wonder what would happen if people weren't aware and didn't put this kind of pressure mm-hmm. on. So it's really, really worthwhile. And this is this one with Inés and Valentina. You have to admire their courage mm-hmm. and their determination because it's so much easier to sit back and say, well, that was in the past and I don't want to dwell on the past, so we're not going to think about it, worry about it, whatever. But their attitude obviously was, well, if it could happen to me, if something's not done, it will happen to someone else. So they were determined to stop it from happening to someone else.
And I think you highlight a really important point there, Jim. A lot of people, especially in this generation, we expect things to come and the results to come quite quickly. And, you know, but especially with fights for human rights, it takes a long time, years mm-hmm. and years, and maybe even generations after generations before a result is actually achieved, unfortunately.
Yeah. And the reality is we have to get involved and we have to stay involved and we have to be determined. I think, and perhaps my generation, we were a little, not realistic, and we tend to think that our justice systems and our court systems and our government will take care of things, and these injustices will be recognized and they'll be dealt with, and people who are guilty will be punished or whatever. And when you start to examine issues both here at home and internationally, you find that without the awareness that organizations like Amnesty brings, most of the time issues like that are forgotten. I'm not sure why, but the actuality of the situation is we have to be involved, and we have to make our fellow citizens aware, and we have to insist that our elected officials and the officials of other countries take up their responsibilities and do the right thing. And if we don't push for that, it's just too easy for them to sit back and do nothing. And sometimes money is involved. Sometimes it's to someone's financial advantage to just let these things slide. And so we really have to be diligent to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Thanks, Jim.
So, Brian, you're going to reflect a little bit about May in terms of the events in May?
Mm-hmm. There are a couple of events, and as I've noted earlier, these are just a few of the particular instances where we're highlighting. Obviously, there are more and more human rights cases that's happening all throughout the world, but these are just some of the ones that we've selected and to talk about a little bit, because if we were to talk about all the high human rights events that have been going on throughout the year, we'll probably cost onto the next show, and they wouldn't like that. Well, for me, in particular, we in Ukraine, the first ever Pride event,
I guess it would be a march, yeah, or
was canceled due to the threat of violence from ultra-right hooligans, and two LGBT activists were actually beaten up and tear gassed in the central Kyiv on the same day. So that's definitely an issue that's still plaguing the, still an issue in the country. And in Syria, moving along to Syria, there have been military assaults on Hola, which basically killed scores of civilians, including about 50 children. And as we all know, the events in Syria
it's
are still
ongoing and
on.
Still spiraling down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've talked about that a little bit in one of our previous shows. And as I said, when it comes to human rights cases, these things normally take longer to resolve. And unfortunately, there have been people that have been harmed with these kind of events, especially with what's been going on in Syria, which is a full-blown civil war.
Yeah, and it's civilians who are harmed. You know, I mean, and they're not combatants. That's the thing, that they're in harm's way, and there's no way for them to get out. They're struggling to find their way to some refugee camps. Sometimes they can, and sometimes it's difficult. The countries where the refugee camps are located, they're not that enthusiastic about having thousands
scores
of people.
Scores of people.
Yeah,
yeah, that have
to be taken care of, and the international response to this problem is, in most cases, not adequate. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what awareness is all about, so that we can encourage our own leaders to make sure that our countries respond appropriately with resources to look after these refugees, or attempt to at least.
Mm-hmm. And one more case I'd like to highlight for the month of May is that in Azerbaijan, police in the capital Baku violently broke up two separate peaceful protests called by the opposition groups ahead of the Eurovision Song Contest. So it's human rights is basically happening all across the world, as we mentioned a little earlier, and particularly it's anywhere, it's everywhere, even here in Canada. We've highlighted in some of the things that have been going on with indigenous rights as well. So that's it for the month of May. Jim, would you like to carry on for June?
Yeah, there's a lot happening in Egypt in June. It starts off early in June, where ex-president Hosni Mubarak and his interior minister Habib El Adli are sentenced to life imprisonment for complicity in the killing of protesters during the 25 January revolution in 2011. And of course, it just goes on from there. And at the end of the month in Egypt, we have President Mohamed Morsi taking office, supposedly ending the 17-month rule of the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces. And if we go on from there, of course, he's taken on all kinds of extreme powers, making himself above the law and all the rest of it, and that's caused a lot of unrest, and they've rushed through a constitution, which again is causing all kinds of protests. So Egypt is having all sorts of problems, trying to stabilize itself, but at the same time, there are people there who are worried about human rights. You've got Coptic Christians and other religions there that are really concerned about discrimination, which has been happening in Egypt. There's a huge list. Here's an item in China, where a veteran dissident, Li Wangyang, who was released from prison last year, is found dead amid mysterious circumstances in a hospital ward in Shaoyang City in Hunan Province. So what's going to happen there? Hopefully we'll have some kind of explanation, and if there is someone responsible for it, they'll be charged. But at the moment, it's just a mystery. And in Iraq, there's a former Saddam Hussein aide hung, bringing the number of executions to 70 since the year began. And of course, Iraq is still in a mess since the invasion. How many years ago is that now? I'm not sure. So it goes on and on. It goes on and on.
I think you've got a little bit of news with respect to June as well, Brian, mm-hmm. that you wanted to share.
Well, we also have some good news in June, particularly in Cambodia. Jailed force eviction protesters were released. So what had happened was 13 women human rights defenders were released from prison on June 27, 2012, after Cambodia's appeal court suspended the remainder of their prison sentences, but upheld their convictions. The 13 were from Bokak Lake community in the capital Phnom Penh. They had been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison on May 24 after a grossly unfair trial. Their arrest had followed a peaceful demonstration protesting the destruction of homes and were forced evictions of thousands of families living around that lake. Amnesty International has considered them to be prisoners of conscience and pressed the Cambodian authorities to free them immediately. So that was some really good news. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Something I wanted to just mention with respect to June, and we're not going to get through the entire year due to time, but maybe we can come back at a future program and reflect on the rest of the year. But in June, internationally, Amnesty International members and volunteers really campaigned hard for an arms trade treaty. We weren't successful. Unfortunately, some of the significant countries at the United Nations backed away from supporting an arms trade treaty, but we collected lots and lots of names and petitions here in Regina and elsewhere calling for an arms trade treaty. And even though we weren't successful, this is going to be back on the agenda. I want to just mention that maybe it's worth closing the program by mentioning that this is going to be back on the agenda at the United Nations in March of 2013. So as people might recall us trigger to trade arms and weapons internationally than it is bananas.
Yes.
Which is crazy. You know, like, where is the logic of that? And we'll be raising that issue again as we get into the time frame closer to the discussions that will be going on in the UN. You know, if you look at what's happened in Syria, the large-scale killing of people, over 40,000 people have lost their lives, hundreds of thousands of people have had to flee as refugees. That would not have happened on the scale it did if there had been an appropriate arms trade treaty. Mm-hmm. And yet countries around the world had really failed the people in Syria.
Yep,
so I just wanted to conclude the program with referring to that.
Yeah, and hopefully with the events that have recent events in the States with the gun tragedy in Connecticut, maybe this will provide us with some impetus towards some common sense with regard to weapons.
Right.
Anyway, as we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., Amnesty letter writing happens at Atlantis Coffee, Victoria Avenue and Hamilton Street. Several Amnesty members will be present writing current Amnesty International appeals, and we want you to feel welcome to join them for some letter writing. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."